thank God for all of you. I want to thank God and LCS anniversary. Here we are in the house of God. We have been married today for 44 years.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Thank God for His goodness and His mercy in keeping us. And through many, many occasions, many things have gone on that were bad, and there are many things that have gone on that are terrific. And I think if we add up everything and put everything together, there's been a whole lot more things that were terrific than things that weren't so great. It's a thing about bad things. It's like sensationalism. Pardon me while I make an adjustment. They say bad news sells more newspapers. Y'all forgive me. Bad news sells more newspapers, so people tend to chime in on the bad news and things, those things a lot more. But in the years that we've been married, we had some great years, and I can say of the truth, I would never be married to anybody else. There's never been a time where I wanted to be married to anybody else. Never been a time where I wished I was married to anybody else. Matter of fact, for me, it's the only person for me. It's been a good marriage, and I've never wished she was somebody else or anything like that. And I thank God for that. Matter of fact, I can't imagine me being married to anyone else. I don't see that happening. I want to look tonight for a few minutes, and I thank God for all of you. Just going to read the Bible for a few minutes tonight. I'm going to look in Romans, the 8th chapter. And then I'm going to look at a scripture in Psalms tonight to encourage us. And then we're going on. The Lord's really been dealing with me about the rapture. And not so much that, telling everybody, you know the rapture's coming, the rapture's coming. It is coming.
Yes, it is.
But the part that He's been dealing with me on is to make sure that we're ready for the rapture. Because if you aren't ready for the rapture, then you aren't ready to die either.
Yes, that's right.
If you're not in a position in God so that if Jesus came back, you would be caught up to meet Him, then you're not in a position in God where if you die tonight, you go to heaven.
Yeah.
You have to really think about that.
Yes, that's
if you're not some, yeah. If you're not, if your relationship with God isn't such that you would go back with Him in the rapture, if He came at this instant, at this moment, then you have a relationship, then your relationship with God is such that if you died at this very moment, you wouldn't go to heaven either.
That's right.
Because there's no way that you're ready to go to heaven if you die, but you're not ready to go back with Jesus if He would come.
That's right.
So all the people who will be here through the tribulation at this point in time, they're not ready to go back with Jesus one way or the other. And we have to live a life, and the reason why I've been so much looking at this is because I look at our times, and for everything that we do, we should use them to our advantage. Yep, yep. And in difficult times, it is a great time for you to draw near to God.
Yes.
And in difficult times, it's time for you to make an assessment of yourself and, as they say, take an inventory of your life and where you are and what things will happen. And since we ourselves can't control tomorrow, then we have to depend on the person who can. And no matter how many people think that the fate of the earth and the world is in their hands, the only person really who has control of our tomorrows and the next day and the day after that is God.
Yes, yes.
So if we have to lean, we not only have to lean and depend on Him, we should love leaning and depending on Him.
Yes.
Because God is a great God. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't have biases or prejudices. He's a fair God and a just God. We can depend on Him. There's never a time when God does something that we didn't expect Him to do. Let me put this like it should be. There are situations and things where God does things that we didn't expect Him to do simply because we're so limited in our scope and how we think and what we think about things. They would have never thought that God would have opened the Red Sea. I wouldn't have thought it. Maybe you would have, but I would have never guessed that.
No.
I wouldn't have expected the walls of Jericho to fall down. I would have expected the people to fall off the wall dead before I expected the whole wall to fall down.
Yeah.
So God does things in that regard, the manna from above and so forth and so on, that's unexpected by us. But what I mean when I say God never does anything unexpected, in other words, you can. It's never a time when there's a right way to do things and God does something else.
Yeah.
He always does the right thing. Yeah. And because his way is right and he is righteous. He's a righteous God. Yeah. Righteousness is his way. Judgment and fairness is his way. So God never does anything that we can, we might not know that the Red Sea's going apart, but we do know that God's going to come through.
Yes, yes.
And we do know that when, however God does things, it is for everybody's benefit and it's good for all those who will receive it.
Yes.
Anything about God that someone doesn't take to be a good thing is simply something they don't receive. Even our chastening, and watch my niece says, our chastening is the greatest grace of God.
Yeah.
And I understand that, although it's not pleasant for me either. Jesus didn't want to be on the cross for 6 hours. I'm sure 10 minutes would have sufficed as far as he was concerned. But the point being is, it's for our greater good. We need to see him there. We need to see him suffer. And when I go through, I need to be corrected. Chastening comes when you need to be corrected. God doesn't just decide, I think I'll punish you today. It doesn't work like that. Chastening comes because you need something fixed. You need to be corrected. Maybe you need a situation fixed, but God doesn't just fix situations. God fixes us. So chastening comes not just because of, you know, well, if you're in God, you're just going to suffer. No. When God chastens you, when he chastens, there's something about you that needs to be corrected. There needs to be something, that there's an adjustment that needs to be made. Or there's a learning step that comes with it, such that as times come on in the future, you're going to need what you've learned in God. I'm looking at Romans 8 chapter tonight for a few minutes, and I'm not going to stay in Romans. I want to look at us because I've been, as we talk about going towards the rapture, and the reason why this came into our lessons here at Promises, because we were studying Corinthians, and I noticed, as many of you probably have, I'm sure I'm not the only person who noticed, but the Apostle Paul never teaches them what they should do without reminding them of what the reward is.
Yes.
He never says to them, if you don't do this, you're just going to be lost forever and leave it like that. You know, well, I guess I better do it, otherwise I'm going to be lost. No, he says, there is a wrath of God. That's absolutely true. But the reason why you should obey God is because of the great reward that's going to come. It's the great salvation that he refers to in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and many other places. It's the rest that he reminds us of in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, that if you are not careful, you can come short of it. And to come short of something doesn't mean that you haven't tried at all. It means that you didn't do well enough.
Yes.
And I can't think of anything worse than having spent time in the house of God, among the people of God, and still coming up short. I can't, you know, there's one thing when you don't even try, but it's another thing when you give, you know, a half-hearted effort and don't come up, and you come up short. There are a lot of people who are going to come up short, because if they were not, then there would be no reason for Paul to have brought it up, and the Spirit would not, the Holy Spirit would not have had him write it down for us. So each time we read in the Apostle Paul's writings and the Apostle Peter's writings and John's writing, Peter says that when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away.
Yeah.
In another place, he talks about to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And so they're always talking about the rapture or immortality or what we're going to receive. John says when we see him, we will be like him. In Colossians, Paul tells us that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. In Philippians, he says that we look to heaven for Christ, who shall come and change our vile bodies.
Yes.
So there's no reason for you not to expect Christ to come.
Yes.
And not only for the, and I don't know, not only to come in the, for the trip, you know, at the end of the tribulation, but he also lets us know in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, that before the tribulation comes, we will be gone.
Yes.
Because the church is what holds the tribulation back. In other words, God doesn't allow it to come for the sake of, for his goodness and mercy, and for the sake of the church. And when we are gone, when he takes us out of the earth, then all lawlessness shall come about. You think they're lawless now. Wait until then. If they hate you now, wait until the church is gone. And they can hate you without being punished. So then tonight I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Yes.
Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what Isaiah says. They should mount up on wings like eagles. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Yes.
And so when we tonight I'm looking at Romans the 8th chapter for a few minutes, and then I'm going to go to Psalms, I think, 40, and we'll look at David for a minute, and then we'll probably go home. Where'd the little boy go?
He's over there.
Praise the Lord. Let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll look at verse number, we'll start at 17. Because in Romans 8 chapter, you say, well, where does Paul talk about having eternal life, having immortality in Romans? In Romans 8 and 17. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be, Romans 8 chapter 17 verse, that we also are, what word?
Glorified
together. Change from mortal to immortal. That we may be glorified together. In other words, it will all be glorified or changed like into his glorious body. That when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall be glorified.
Yes.
In this particular time, it's not just referring to our to any praise. It's referring to us being changed into a glorious body.
Yes.
For us having an immortal body.
Yes.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, what we're going through now, with all the difficulties in this country and every other country, there has only ever been very short periods in the earth when there was peace. That's the time that Adam, the most perfect peace in the earth, was before Adam and Eve decided to disobey God in the garden. There was complete peace. And since that time, there's been very few periods of time in the earth, even when you read in the Old Testament, when you read about the Jewish Israel, as if they were coming along, even though Israel would have times of peace, in their times of peace, there is still fussing and fighting among them.
Yeah.
They weren't warring with another tribe, but they were never to a point where they were just, it wasn't heaven, where everybody was always getting along and everything was all right and, you know, and things like that. They had times of peace when they weren't warring against other nations, but among themselves, there was always something. Because since sin came into the earth, then discord came with it.
Yeah.
And discord has always been among the people. This is one of the reasons why, the main reason, I guess, why when Paul writes to one of them, I can't remember whom, he says, let the peace of God rule. In other words, as pastors and leaders and in our houses, husbands and wives and whatever we are, we're supposed to go in the direction that brings peace, not the direction that brings more war. But when you start realizing you're really tearing things up, when it dawns on you, you're doing more damage than you are good, you need to do, as they say among nations, and sue for peace. You know, not sue for money, not sue for to get your own way, but you need to sue for peace. And that doesn't mean get a lawyer. It means you need to pursue peace, seek peace, and then sue it. You need to sue for peace, or between a husband and a wife, when you realize this is not getting us anywhere. And we might not even resolve this conflict this particular time, but we do need to have peace. We do need to be able to close our eyes together tonight and both of us have sound sleep. We must be able to at least sit at the dinner table together. And maybe we'll have to take this up at another time because I'm not necessarily ready to give in on this one. And she's not either, or he either, as the case may be. But we have to come to a point where, okay, well, we'll put this on the back burner for the moment. But we still have to live in this house. You should be able, in the middle of a conflict between a husband and a wife, I know because I've been married for a very long time, as time's going this and for us, you should be able, no matter what you're going through, you should still be able to say good morning. And you should be able to at least say good night before you go to sleep at night, or you know, if you're really hot and heavy and everything else, don't just grab your keys and walk out the door and slam the door. You should at least say, well, I need to take a walk. You need to say something so that you can head in the direction of having peace. It's the same thing in the church. It's not, you can't just throw everybody out that you don't get along with. At some point in time, you have to decide, you know, seek peace and ensue it. But in the earth, there has been turmoil and strife ever since the incident in the garden. And even though we might not be right now at war with other nations, what we're in is a civil war.
Yes.
And Shonda defined it the other day. She said someone had written and said, yes, we're in a cold civil war.
Oh, yes.
That's exactly what we're in.
Yes.
We're in a civil war.
Yes.
And the only way that we ever make our way through any of those, even like the Civil War, which was a shooting event, was God had to intervene.
Yes.
And God intervenes on earth because he's not ready to take us out of the earth.
Yes.
He intervenes in things in earth, not because one person wants their way or another. He intervenes for the peace of for the peace and care of the people who belong to him, of the saints of God, because he's not ready to take us out of the earth, and we have to stay here a while longer. Why should we have to stay here a while longer? He hasn't redeemed all the people that he plans to redeem yet. He has a number. It's not a moving number. He knows exactly when he's going to reach that number. But he hasn't redeemed them. His mercy and his grace extends to so many. And as long as his mercy and his grace still extends, you can believe it or not, but every sinner on earth right now is living in the mercy and grace of God because he keeps them living.
Yes.
And they're not dying, and they can be as terrible as they want to be and not call upon him and anything else, and they live because of his mercy and his grace. Some of them, on one hand, some of them are living because of his mercy and his grace that they might at some point in time be saved. Others are living on behalf of his mercy and his grace in a comparison or a contrast so that we see the goodness of God versus the evil of the devil.
Yeah.
Either way, it works God's program. So we being those who have heard the call and have come to Christ and ask him to save us, those of us who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and having received the wisdom and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, not wisdom in all things, not revelation in all things, but we have the wisdom, we have the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that through his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, we are saved and we have eternal life. And we have that revelation, and we have the wisdom to say, I will go by the Holy Spirit. We have the wisdom to say, I will go. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation isn't always, it isn't just a matter of me giving you something deep and profound that nobody else knows. It is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and why we need to be saved. And it is also the wisdom that when we hear the word of God to obey. It is a wise person who obeys the person who knows everything. So then when we are in the earth as we are now, going through the travail that we're going through, in Romans 8 chapter, we have to remember, and if children, then heirs of God in the 17th verse, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffering with Christ means not only the hurt and the pain, but enduring.
Yes.
Enduring with him. Going through the earth with all the things there is a reward for being born in sin, which is when people say, well, you were born, you know, already shorthanded, you were already, you know, in one place in the Bible when it talks about it, he says, all of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God doesn't mean you just went out and got drunk. It means you were born short of the glory of God. We were born human. We were born mortal. All were born in sin and short of the glory of God. The glory that God intended for us to have, but we don't have it. So he says in this, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together and endure with him, preaching the gospel, teaching every man, warning every man that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They need God. I keep waiting because the Spirit keeps saying to me that in this church you preach and teach and you keep witnessing the people and you see them and you're letting your light shine because you've got the smile that's genuine. You're conversant because the Spirit says speak to them, and sooner or later, at some point in time, there will arise a situation in their life like the Syrophoenician woman. I didn't think he was in here. Like the Syrophoenician woman, they're going to come to a point where they need the Lord.
Yes.
You need to. What we need to do is I don't stop by Walgreens every day. I don't even stop by Walgreens every week, nor every month for that matter.
Yeah.
But there does come a time when I need to have a prescription filled, and I have to go to Walgreens or to some other drugstore. There will come a time, and you know, keep on letting your light shine, and keep on telling whoever will listen about Christ, and being godly before them, being godly with them, and being godly before somebody and with them is not just telling them about God. It's your manner.
Yeah.
It's how you are and what you are.
Yes.
Your light shines all the time, whether you're talking or not.
Yes.
Your light shines, or your darkness dims.
Yes.
Your darkness dims because of a grimace. Your light shines because of a smile. It goes on all the time. You know, people who do interactive skills call it body language.
Yes.
Well, it certainly is part of
it. Yeah.
Keep letting your light shine. Sooner or later, when people give you an opportunity to tell you about the Lord, tell you about the church, or those different things, sooner or later, they will need God, and they'll say, like I do, when I needed someone to do some siding on the building or whatever, I went back and looked at all my cards that I'd collected for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. business cards. I talked to somebody about this. Let me see if I can find this card. And they need them forever until, you know, let me see if I find their number. Or when our air conditioners go out, I go find Kevin's number.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I look it up and hope I haven't lost it or whatever. And those things. And when people need God, a need will come. Some people will never come to God, no matter what. But some people are going to need God.
Yes.
And they're going to remember where they heard about God.
Yes.
And they're going to come and try and find God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have the opportunity to reap that harvest because you are ready.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows that, and it will come your way. So he says, and as far as I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are supposed to, in the earth, always have righteousness, peace, and joy because the Holy Ghost dwells in us, and we're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We belong to him. We're in his realm. Even though we dwell on earth, our citizenship is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness, peace, and joy. And we're part of that. It doesn't mean that we don't ever have difficult times or things don't get bad sometimes. But even in the midst of that, we're supposed to say, but in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness and peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a joy that no matter what happens on earth, you can't take that away from me.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the kingdom that I'm in.
Yes.
You can treat me as badly as you want to, or you can be as unfair as you want to be, but I'm in a kingdom where there is righteousness, and it might not seem to be prevailing today,
yeah.
but it's going to prevail.
Yeah.
Give place to wrath.
Yeah.
For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will pay, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
God's going to get around to all the evildoers.
Yes.
This is the reason why in Revelation, the 21st chapter, we were reading it the other night, when it said all liars.
Yes.
All the abominable, the unbelieving, the fearful, yes. they're going to have their place in the lake that burn with fire and brimstone. You can count on it.
Yes, yes.
But I'm not really looking forward to it. I'd be so glad when they're in that flame. There's something that I'm more glad about than them being in the flame. I'll be gladder when Jesus comes, whether
yes.
they make it to the flame or not.
Yes.
We can wait on them. I will be glad yes. when I see Jesus.
Yes.
It is more important for me to see Jesus than it is for me to be concerned about them being in the flames. God will take care of that because the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the ungodly to the day of judgment to be punished. That's God's responsibility. What I want from God is to be glorified with him. So he says, if we suffer with him in this, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the things we go through it, at the time that Paul was writing this, they were being persecuted because from all sides. They were being persecuted from the Jewish believers because they had believed on Christ and Paul was a Jew. And then they were receiving persecution. He's in Rome. They were receiving persecution from the Gentile believers because they had so many gods and it was illegal to have another god. Either way, you could lose your head.
Yeah.
If the Jews didn't catch up with you and stone you for blasphemy, the Romans would catch up with you and chop your head off. So there were trouble on every side.
Yeah.
Today, and Tuesday we were talking about today, we are not under any religious persecution.
And
among the Muslims, and they are doing all kinds of things in other places. They might be persecuting people for religious sake. But in America, we're not under any religious persecution. Our door is... The door in the back is locked simply because there are not many of us in here, and it gives us an opportunity to inventory who's there before we let them in. But if we had a regular compliment like we used to do, the doors are wide open and we welcome whosoever will let them come. And they still welcome.
Yes.
We're not afraid they're going to come in and take our Bibles, or even though the, you know, a segment of the voting population has told that lie too. They're trying to get rid of our Bibles. You know, y'all not be a liar. No one's trying to get rid of your Bible.
Yes.
You know.
Know your God. Yes, right.
You're trying to take our Bibles. Nobody's trying to take your Bible. I can't think of a bigger lie at this point in time. So we're not going through that persecution. But we have to pay bills.
Yes.
We have these viruses, and if it wasn't coronavirus, it's not the first germ that we've ever had. There's been the Asian flu. There's been swine flu. There's Zika virus. There's this. Before my time, there was polio, and really most of us don't realize it because time changes so quickly. But during World War One, the biggest source of people dying was not bullets; it was infection.
Yeah.
And until they came up with penicillin. Which wasn't that long ago, just a few years before I was born, people died in hospitals most of the time because they became septic. Whether they couldn't remove the bullets or whatever. So we've always had all sorts of things going on that we've had to put up with and deal with, and we've had to all sorts of things that we've had to deal with. So there's always some suffering. And besides all that, you have the criminal element, you have the evil element, you have the this, you have that. So the sufferings of this present time that we're going through, but they're not so bad that we should give up and kill ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
They're not so bad that we should just, you know, it's just so bad I'm on drugs. I just can't take the world as it is. It isn't that bad.
No.
So when we have the Lord, Paul wrote in this place, he said the sufferings of this present time, his present time and our present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, there's no way in the world that we can say that we deserve the glory that we're going to get because we have suffered so badly. As a matter of fact, only one person can say that, and that's Christ. Right. And that's because he had done no sin. Neither was he born in sin.
Right.
There was no guile found in him. When he was reviled, he reviled not. He was not an evil person.
Yeah.
He's the only person who can say that really he got a reward for going through the suffering.
Yeah.
We go through suffering, but our reward is so much greater.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even the same category, the same ballpark, whatever you want to talk about. It's so much greater. The shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature. We're looking for, creation is waiting for Jesus to come. Creation is waiting for Jesus to come. I was telling someone a couple last week, and they were saying, well, you know, scientists are saying that if we keep going the way we're going, the earth is going to only last maybe another 200 years, and there's nothing we can do to reverse that. I said, and I told him very quickly, I'm not worried about that because God is going to fix that.
Yes.
And he looked at me and he said, well, I guess that's the answer for everything, isn't it? I said, absolutely.
Yes.
If God didn't come and fix the earth, that's right, we would destroy it.
Yes.
Use up everything on it.
Yes.
And, you know, if he didn't come replenish it or whatever, because we are continually killing it.
Yes.
Killing it in ourselves. Well, some of it we have no choice in.
Mm-hmm.
Once sin came into the earth, you know, some of the things like we drive around every day. We're not ready to stop using oil. I guess they could have fixed it a long time ago, but they didn't. Because they made more money selling oil. There's so many things that business people could make different if they didn't make money doing it.
Right.
So that's another thing we have to put up with them, don't we? Because they're certainly not like God.
No.
But the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature, the earth is waiting for us to be changed from mortal to immortal. The earth is waiting for us to, is waiting until a time when God comes and delivers us from the earth, and when he comes, and changes the earth. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, vanity means nothing. Don't ever name your child that. Vanity means nothing. This is what Solomon found out. He said he's the richest man on earth at the time. He'd done some of everything, and he found out all was vanity and all was useless, worthless in the earth. But the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself or himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is talking about us being changed.
Yes.
From mortal to immortal. The earth is going to be delivered as well. But we know that the whole creation, talking about the earth, groaneth and travaileth and frame pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. The sinners are suffering in earth, so are we.
Mm-hmm.
Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also have to put up with earth and go through with earth and deal with this pandemic and all these things that are going on. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. And this is our way out.
Yes.
This is, we can't preach too much about Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And we can't preach too much about the rapture. I thought about today, and I don't mean to offend anybody. We all need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in the church. When we're praying, we need to be able to lay hands on people today and have them healed and have them delivered.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to you're going to get a chance to teach two seminars, one's on the rapture and the other one's on gifts, the people need to know about the rapture.
The rapture, yes.
I need to know that I'm going to be changed from mortal to immortal.
Yes.
And then when I get that real good, now you can tell me about gifts.
Yes, yes.
But I need, if I'm only going to get a chance to give you one sermon, it needs to be on, you need to be prepared to meet God.
Yes, yes.
If I only get 15 minutes of your time, and I'm trying to get you to, trying to give you something that'll cause you to be in God, cause you to be in Christ, and I say, well, just give me a one-liner, then the one-liner I'll give you, do you know that we're going to be changed?
Yes.
From mortal to immortal?
Mortal, yes.
Do you know that Jesus is going to come back?
Yes.
And change us from mortal to immortal?
Yes.
When you go to bed tonight, do you know that if Jesus should come in the morning, you'll be changed from mortal to immortal? Or if you should die in your sleep, you'll go to heaven and get your immortal body? Do you know that? Do you know that's why we're serving God?
Yes.
The gifts are here to encourage us. The gifts are to strengthen us and keep us. They have their manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. They're there for a reason. But the bottom line still is so that we are waiting to see Jesus. The power of God is manifest in order to encourage us to wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. Peter and Paul, when they healed the blind man at the gate, beautiful, Peter made it very clear to them, this happened, and it was not our power, but it was God's power, to let you know that the same Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Savior, and he sits at the right hand of God. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. This lets you know that Jesus has ascended because the power of God has been given to us.
Yeah.
The power of God is to give us hope in the resurrection, hope in the rapture.
Yeah.
It gives us hope in eternal life. So if I have a choice between what sermons I'm going to give people on any given day, and I'm only going to get a chance to preach to you once, I'm going to tell you Jesus is coming. Then if you come back for sermon number 8, 9, or 10, then I'll start explaining to you why the power of the Holy Ghost is moving and how he moves in you.
Yes.
But what's paramount is you must first understand that Jesus is the Son of God and has come to give us everlasting life.
Yes.
So he says in this, even we ourselves, in verse 23, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Holy Ghost-filled people are not crying out to God tonight to solve this election. They're crying out to God tonight, groaning to be with him.
Yes.
Because if I get caught up, it won't matter.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Oh, it's an afterthought. So you mean it's never on your mind? It's on my mind, but it isn't something that I'm just telling y'all tonight. This is what y'all need to just cry out to God about. If we're going to spend any energy in God tonight, cry out to God tonight that he'll wash you and cleanse you and make you right. Show you any wrinkle, any spot that we were talking about last week that'll keep you from going back with him. And then do like Solomon did. I mean, do like David did. Tell the Lord, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Jesus said, David said the same thing in one of his songs. And tell him, I commit my soul unto you. Make your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So that no matter what happens and no matter which way it goes, I belong to God. And God is one that changes not. And with him is no shadow of turning. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yeah, amen.
His mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
In my worst moment, his mercy endureth forever. In my best moment, his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
And this is the reason why he says what we're waiting for, what we're really waiting for,
yes,
is the redemption of these bodies. We're waiting for that more than anything else in the earth. That's the most important. If we never get another gift, I want gifts. You should want them. You ought to want to see them operate. Yes, we do. But we'll forego that if Jesus will come right now.
Yes, amen. Yes.
For we are saved by hope. Our hope is in Christ. What is hope? There's a difference between hope and wishing.
Yes.
When you wish for something, you have a desire for something, but the likelihood of it, but you're not very sure it's ever going to happen. Matter of fact, when you make a wish, you're trusting to luck or to something else. Hope is different. Hope is an earnest desire with sincere expectation that it's going to take place. It's an earnest desire with a diligent expectation. You plan for this to happen. This is my hope. My hope is in the Lord. I can be glad because my hope is in the Lord. He is our hope. He's our blessed hope. He's not a wish. He's a hope. In other words, I live the life I live because I have hope. Why do people kill themselves? Because they have no hope. It isn't just the point of them going through difficult times, because the man who was the Anthony, whoever he was, the man had tons of money.
Yes.
And so he had no want for anything.
Yeah.
You know, job that he always traveling around the world, getting paid to do so, and doing all those kinds of things. And yet, he's troubled so bad by evil spirits, he has no hope in life. So what does he do? He kills himself.
Yeah.
How bright is that? And the list is long.
Yes.
The list is long. It isn't because they're starving. It's because they have no hope.
Hope, yes.
As long as we have hope, we live.
Live, yes.
And he says he is our hope. And for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? In other words, we're hoping the Lord's going to give Chandra a job. When she gets a job, then she won't have to hope for that anymore. Mm-hmm. She will have it.
Yes.
You might hope for another stimulus. I don't know, whatever you might hope for. Maybe you're wishing for that. But whatever you hope for, I know one thing we're hoping for. We're hoping for Jesus to come.
Yes, yes.
And when Jesus comes, we don't have to hope for that anymore.
Yes.
If I should die tonight, I don't have to hope for immortality anymore. I'll have it.
Yep.
He says, but if we hope for that we see not, then if we hope, this is where my verse is tonight. If we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it.
Yes.
If I'm wishing for something, I'll give up on that and wish for something else.
Yep.
You know how you have these dreams of things that you know are never going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much never going to happen. And you dream about them for a while, and then you, one day you just decide, okay, tired of dreaming about that. And you move on to a new dream.
Yeah.
And then you fantasize about that or think about that for a month or whatever it is, years, some things. And then you move on to something else. But the things that you hope for, you expect to happen, those things you diligently look for, you do with patience look for them.
Yes.
You do with patience wait for them.
Yes.
I am hoping that the Lord is going to come. I'm willing to wait.
Yes.
I'm not wishing that he's going to come. My hope is in his coming.
Yes.
I'm willing to wait. I want to look at Psalms. And this is what I want to remember tonight. David's Psalm 40. And David said this, and I'm almost done for tonight. Psalm 40. And we need to remind ourselves, you're going to hear them say one day in Zechariah, here is the Lord, we have waited for him.
Yes.
The Jewish believers are going to say this at one point when Jesus comes in the Advent, not just us in the rapture, but when he comes in the Advent, because they will have gone through the tribulation. And they're going to say, here is the Lord, we have waited for him. But in my mind, when I see him, I'm going to say the same thing. Here is the Lord. We have waited for him. I have this scenario in my mind that when Jesus comes, I was telling you the other night, I think it's like when Peter is delivered from prison. And in my mind, in the way I see it, Peter is delivered from prison. An angel comes in, step one, Peter's asleep between two soldiers. They're chained to him. There are two outside the guard, outside his door. There are four soldiers guarding, two outside the door, two inside the prison, chained to him on both sides. He's sitting in the middle of them sleeping. And an angel comes in and wakes him up. and his chains fall off, and the cell door opens, and the prison door opens, and they get to the wall, and the door in the wall opens up. And then when he comes to himself, he's outside of the prison.
Yeah.
In my mind, and I could be wrong about this. This is not gospel, but to me, the only way I can see this happening is he's physically translated. And if the Bible, when it reads it to me, and I choose to believe it this way, and God doesn't seem to have a problem with me doing it, it's like he's reading it to me, all the things that take place, but they really take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
Because when the guards come to themselves, he's just gone.
Yes.
And the doors open. He's just gone.
Yeah.
When they come, and they're not sleeping, because you got two standing outside the door.
Yeah.
So while the guards are there sleeping, and he eases out, and they carry him through, they're in a deep sleep, and he's just gone. Quickly, they don't even have time to finish praying. They're praying that he'll be delivered, and he's knocking on the door.
Yes.
In a moment, it's happening, it's going on just that quickly. When the Lord comes back, we're going to be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But for us, it'll be in real time. But it'll be just that quickly. We're gone. And so David writes in this is what we're waiting for. This is what our hope is in. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Here's the difference between doing life in prison without parole. You're waiting, but you're not patient. You have no choice.
Yeah.
I have been shopping with Paula many times in 44 years. It's only in recent, and maybe the last 5 or 10 years, that I have learned to wait for Paula when she shops patiently. Every other time I was waiting because I just didn't want to fight and just couldn't do anything about it because she was too strong for me. So I just had no choice but to wait till she finished because, I wasn't going to win. But it wasn't patience. And so when she'd come, I'd be fuming and this and that and the other. It wasn't to the last 15 years, maybe I've learned, we got on the highway. And the difference, how astounding is the difference when you wait patiently?
Yes.
Used to be when I was going someplace between point A and point B, it was like I was on a timeline, like I'm racing to meet Jesus.
Yes.
And then as I got older, and I don't think it's just age, I think about the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said to me one day, I almost can remember the first time it happened. We were on our way to Columbus or someplace, and there's a DFW and DSW, whatever it's called, and they didn't used to be everywhere, but they had a big one right beside the highway, right outside, just north of Cincinnati. And the Lord said to me one day, we were riding, Paula wasn't saying a word, we were just doing okay. And I said to me, why don't you ask if she wants to stop at DSW? I said, you want to stop at DSW? Well, W, the U would now in my mouth before yes. And it's just a different, oh, the joy floods my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. And everything just changed. And now, we travel. It's a totally different thing. It's like the trip is part of the trip, and we stop, and I don't care, and we and we do whatever. It's not just stopping to avoid a fight anymore. It's like, what a difference it makes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm patiently waiting. Because I'm not experiencing any anxiety. I'm not fuming. I'm not pacing the floor. I'm not stomping my foot. I'm patiently waiting.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on Jesus and saying to him, but you told me you were going to come, and you haven't shown up yet. This is what the people are saying in Peter, when Peter says, since the beginning there have always been scoffers saying, where is he coming? We've been told this forever. They're beginning to become impatient. The Holy Ghost will cause you to wait patiently on the Lord. You're waiting in faith. You're waiting in a hope because you know the Lord's going to do it.
Yes.
If you don't wait on the Lord patiently, you will pray for something for a little while and then you'll stop. Matter of fact, I heard somebody say one time, you're praying for this for so long, you need to stop. You need to stop. No, I don't need to stop. As long as it's something that God doesn't prohibit me from having, maybe there's, if there's something that I need to stop praying, the Spirit will say, will tell me why this is not something not to pray. Otherwise, pray until something happens, as one of Clark's sisters said.
Yes.
Pray until the Lord moves, because I have hope in this. Yes. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in His coming.
Yes.
We do with patience wait for it. And David wrote this. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. This is your example. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, usually, when I preach this, and I love it, because it talks about coming out of sin, talks about coming out of situations, and I am one who's been in a situation where other people might not have realized it. They might have thought that I was just loving it, but I was saying to myself every day, Lord, please deliver me. Lord, please bring me out. Oh, God, please help me. Lord, please bring me out. Lord, please deliver me. I want to be delivered. Lord, I really want to be delivered. Have you ever told God you wanted to be delivered?
Yes.
Just going through it. I mean, miry clay, and seem like you're just going down, 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 and you can't get, and you're praying, oh, God, please, Lord, if you don't bring me out, I don't know the way out. And I'm in this, and I just want to be out.
Yes.
Please deliver me. And David said that he waited patiently on the Lord, and during this time he was in a miry clay. He was sinking. Things were not going well. It seemed like things were falling apart. All for a minute here, even in this country, I was getting caught up, and seemed like to me, for one while, I was saying, like, I watched Joy Bayar, or however she pronounces her name, on The View one morning. I only watched the first couple of minutes. I never watch any more than that. That's as much as I can take.
Yeah.
And she was saying, oh, if this election doesn't go in a certain way, she said, I just don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
She sounded like she was at the end of a rope. And even Whoopi Goldberg chimed in and said, well, we'll just go on.
Yes.
Because it was really.
That's right.
And and I find myself getting like that sometimes. This has just got to change. This is whatever. Until the Spirit said to me, I'm the one who upholds all things by the word of my power.
Yeah.
And it's by me all things consist, not somewhere on the earth.
Yeah.
I've been keeping you all along.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the times when you thought that those peace and people were dying, in times when you thought there was peace and safety. Bad things were happening in the time when you thought that everything was just the greatest time ever, and still things were happening.
Yes.
I'm the one who's sustaining you.
Yes.
And David writes this. He says, he picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock and established my going. Established my goings.
Yes.
Don't you want your goings established by God? No matter what happens.
Yes, yes.
I want God to establish my goings. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in my life, in my ministry, in all that I have to do, just like you do in heaven. I want God to establish my goings. He leaded me in the pathway of righteousness for His namesake.
Yes.
Because He's God. He doesn't lead me in the path of righteousness because I'm good. Because He's
God.
Yes. It's what He does. You know how people say, it's what I do?
Yes.
It's what He does.
He does, yes.
And when you get to this part, He'll put a new song in your mouth. He'll put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He will put a new song. The peace comes and the joy comes.
Yes.
And a new song, a new attitude, a new way of facing things, a new, now I sound like Joel Osteen, but I'm in the Bible, and I don't know where he's at. He'll put a new song in your heart. In other words, you'll have a joy.
Yes.
Oh, there's a lot to be said about having the Holy Ghost and not having an entreating and a kind and a gentle countenance.
Yes.
If you allow the Holy Ghost to come in, Holy Ghost filled people are supposed to be easily entreated. They're supposed to be like Jesus.
Yes.
How else are we going to win people? We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, Jesus says in Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're the people who are supposed to beckon everybody to us, to Jesus through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled unto God.
Yes.
How are we going to do that if we're repulsing everybody?
Yeah, that's right.
And we I've heard people say about different people sometimes. They'll say, oh, he or she, whoever it is just as nice as they. You just got to get to know them. Why do I have to get to know you before I realize that you're godly?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of backwards?
Mm, yeah.
Before I know you, I need to see something of God.
God, yes.
Why do I have to wait? You just got to get to know. Just got to get to know them.
No.
Why are you such a person? I've got to get to know to realize that the Holy Ghost dwells in you.
Yes.
That should be one of the first things I encounter.
Yeah, that's right.
That glow should be there. That light should shine. Why is it? Why? Well, you know, they're not so bad once you get to know them. Not so bad. Why are you any bad?
Yes.
Once you get to know them, you know this, and then you can say, well, you can meet people, they can seem nice, they can be a snake. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But that's no reason for you to act like a snake so we can find out you're not.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yes, there are a lot of people who, yes, for even Satan himself shows up as an angel of light.
Light, yes.
But that doesn't mean for you to put your light out because, well, Satan got light, I guess I don't want one. No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Sure, he is the great imposter, wanting to be God himself. But you can't stop serving God simply because the devil does it sometimes.
Yes.
You can't stop being nice because there are some nice people who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Yes, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. That doesn't mean you have to stop being a sheep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to be like a sheep because some of them. That's like the people who say, I don't want to go to church because there are hypocrites in it. There are hypocrites in the church. There are hypocrites everywhere.
Yeah.
They're a hypocrite.
Yeah, yes.
There exists no place where they don't have people who are hypocritical. I can't stop going to church because they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
I can't stop going to church because some of the people in there are wrong.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have stopped a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't give up on God because some people who preach God are not right.
Yes.
You know, preachers ain't right. No, some of them might not be, but many of us
are. Yes, yes.
There are many of us who have been washed in the blood.
Yes.
Many of us who have been chastened into righteousness.
Yes.
When we were wrong, the Lord got us right.
Yeah.
And we live righteously today. So, you know, but you can't say, well, I'm going to start preaching because preachers have a bad image. Well, that's just some of the suffering we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Jesus had to deal with it. They told Jesus during his time, hey, if you read in Acts, you find out when Gamaliel is speaking. They don't want to trust Jesus because they remind everybody, hey, this person over here said he was the Son of God. He caused thousands to die. And this one, you read it in Acts. And that's what they're talking about. They say, remember when this person came and he called that and we don't want to follow him? And Gamaliel said, well, you know, if these people are not right, it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
If they are right, you could be speaking against God.
Yes.
He lets you know right then. And Jesus said himself, many shall come in my name.
Yes.
And then John says, believe not every spirit. But that doesn't mean we can't trust the Holy Ghost because you can't believe every spirit.
Yeah.
We're supposed to let a light shine. Never mind that some of the people who are smiling at us are, you know, behind the smile, then they're insincere. This is why Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let it not be hypocritical. Yes, some people are. But you must not be one. Don't stop smiling because every smiling face, well, you can't trust a smiling face. That's true, but at least be one.
Yeah.
And you will trust.
Yeah.
You can't put your light out, not let your light shine, because evil people imitate, you know, are false and everything else. You can't stop trusting God because of that.
Yeah.
Our hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
Many shall see it in verse 3. Many shall see us waiting patiently on the Lord. Many shall see us having a new song in our heart. Many shall see us converted.
Yes.
Many shall see how the Lord brings us out and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it and fear come to God and have trust in the Lord.
Yes.
You want people to have trust in the Lord. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. Thank God for all of you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this great grace, Lord, wherein you've saved us and called us. And thank you for the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, that we've used many times. Lord, without the blood, Lord, there would be no remittance for us. There'd be no way that we could be set free from our sins. And thank you for Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who died for us and who was buried and whom you resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, with whose resurrection we have new life, a new birth. Lord, we're saved by it.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your great grace that you extended it unto us, Lord, who were so unworthy. Lord, even so, Lord, you continue, Lord, your mercy endure for earth forever. And Lord, our worthiness, if we have any at all, is because we have been washed in the precious blood,
renewed
and regenerated by the word of God and by the precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Lord, all that we have about us that is redeemable, Lord, we have received from you.
Yes.
Lord, there's nothing within us, Lord, that we were born with nor of ourselves, Lord, that's worth anything.
Yes.
But Lord, you've given us eternal life, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of God. And Lord, you keep us in every day, Lord, by the word of God. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. Lord, you are the great God and the mighty God. There's no other God but thee. Lord, you uphold all things by the word of your power. Lord, by you all things consist. And Lord, we become subject unto you willingly, O God. Lord, we could become even more subject with our whole heart and our whole mind, with all our soul, our spirit, O God. And tonight, O Lord, we ask you, Lord, to heal the sick, Lord, because you are able to heal the sick. Lord, you have healing for every disease, Lord. You have all power. Power belongeth to God.
Yes.
And Lord, because of the work that Christ did on the cross of Calvary, O God, Lord, he bore our sins and carried all our sorrows, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, O God. With his stripes we are healed, Lord, because of what he went through.
Yes.
And God, I ask you, O God, I ask you that tonight, Lord, precious Father, to extend it to all those who are sick. Lord, in any discomfort, any disease tonight, Lord, every situation, all that we go through, Lord, whether it be in body or in mind or in spirit, Lord, I pray, Lord, you lift us up tonight.
Yes.
Set at liberty all those that are bruised. Lord, look upon us who are oppressed in the earth, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we know there will come a time we'll meet your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes. We're looking forward to that day. But until then, O God, Lord, lift our oppression, O God.
Yes.
That we would be comforted in the earth, Lord, that we would wait upon you, O God.
Yes.
And even so, Lord, for what things we must suffer waiting on you, Lord, we do willingly, Lord, for we know that we suffer with you, we shall also reign with you.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, we look forward to those days. Lord, all those whose names have come to any of us, Lord, by way of message, by way of email, Lord, by word of mouth in any way, Lord, among us, Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch tonight and heal, Lord, for your power.
Yes.
Lord. By your power, for your glory, O God, and we'll glorify your name. Lord, remember Ella Smith and Ella T. Angela Rogers, and Ella Ware, Lord, Ella Paulette Harrison, Lord. All those names that we, Lord, remember the family, Lord, that's going through this burying this child this weekend, oh God. Oh, Lord, please be with them.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, comfort them in this because I can't think of anything more tragic in the earth, oh God. But Lord, I'm sure there are, but Lord, for me, that would be a great burden. Lord, I pray, Lord, you step in right now, oh God. Lord, heal their, Lord, let there be healing for their souls in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, move among us tonight and all those who are moving. Lord, open a door for Minister Smith, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, find her worthy, Lord, that you'll be able to bless her with your blessing, Lord. Find her such that she would give you all the glory and all the honor. And Lord, let it be a memorial to her, Lord, when you step in, Lord, that she would serve you for all the days of her life. Lord, anoint the man on the instruments tonight. But Lord, we need musicians. Lord, give him perfect timing, O God, and perfect pitch, O God, and those things that are needful. Lord, in the house of God, that he would glorify your name, Lord, and dwell with you. Lord, bless the promised children, O God, all every one of Damascus and Tekoa, O God, and Aram and Zara. Lord, Robert, and all those, Lord, who come to promise, all the Griffin kids. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost at an early age and turn their hearts and their minds toward you, Lord, that they would not suffer some of the things that many of us have gone through in life because we knew not the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, you turn them and have mercy upon them and upon their families. And Lord, use this church. Let us be a light. Let new covenant in every church that's here. Lord, Emmanuel, God, Prince of Peace, all the churches, Lord, wherever they are. Lord, let us be a light that sits on the hilltop. Lord, let men and women be drawn to our light, oh God, in Jesus Christ. And Lord, when they come, Lord, let us give them a word for the weary.
Yes.
Lord, they will believe on you and have salvation and be saved. Lord, have eternal life even as we, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, your anointing would come upon every one of us as we witness. Lord, let your spirit be poured out upon us, O God, and give us the words of eternal life to every person, Lord. Lord, give us the words that are specific to them and the words that will cause them to say, what must I say to be, what must I do to be saved? Lord, for every person, Lord, you know what they need to hear. And Lord, I pray, Lord, at that time, you would give us what to say and how to say it, Lord, that we would change, Lord, that they would be pricked to their hearts. They would change their minds and repent, O God, and call upon the name of the Lord that they might be saved. And Lord, when they have done that, we'll give you all the glory. We'll do like Peter And we will say, Lord, don't marvel at us. It is not us who has done this thing, but it is our Lord.
Yes.
It is our Father who is in heaven.
Yes.
Lord, to let us know that Jesus Christ sits at his own right hand.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, give us peace in this, Lord, in this nation and wherever we are. Lord, stretch forth our hand, Lord.
Yes.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And those things that are needful tonight, Lord, for the saints of God to dwell in peace. And Lord, you know who we are.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, those things you would do.
Yes.
Lord, we will wait until we see you.
Yes.
And Lord, our hope and our faith is in you. Lord, we know that in all things, Lord, whatsoever may befall us. Lord, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we forever glorify your name. We give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the saints of God, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for all of you. I pray for being here with us tonight. And I'm looking forward to the jurisdictional meeting. And we've got...